We've had a rather incredible week this week. I won't go into any more detail than that, but the Lord kind of topped it off last night by waking me up many times in the night to talk to you. And so this is really and truly a prophetic message. The interesting thing is that some of you who really follow the ministry closely are going to say, well, you guys have said that before. Well, I knew that because I remember when you said that in the beginning, you know, things like that. And so I'll start out by saying everything he showed me, I already knew. It was nothing new. But the thing that made it so wonderful is the way he showed it. And I say at one point that it reminds me of, I don't know if any of you have ever been to see a 3D movie. I took Ricky one time, years and years and years and years ago when they first came out. I don't even know what movie was made in that 3D arena. But it was amazing. I didn't really go to see the movie. I went to see the, you know, the 3D technology because it was incredible and everything that I heard about it turned out to be true. So we walked in and really, 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 really enjoyed it. Well, for instance, in one scene they were showing, it was a cartoon character, and they were showing the cartoon character in the deep of the ocean. But as you walked into the theater, the ocean was halfway back in the theater because it was 3D. It wasn't just on the screen. You walked into the ocean. And Ricky and I saw that, never having seen anything like it before, and we couldn't help but laugh. And so never have you seen a movie in the theater, at home, anywhere, I don't think, like they can produce with the 3D technology. It's amazing. And the reason I'm bringing this back to you is that what he showed me in such a different way that it would be likened to comparing it to a 3D movie versus the old, the old traditional kind of movies that they make. And it was just so amazing the way it stuck in my head, in my heart, in my spirit. I love it that he's always right on top of things. He knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it, and he's just there to be his amazingly wonderful thing of self. I do want to say, I've got to do this, you know. I do want to say, I don't go to movies now. That was many decades ago. But, and I don't recommend that you go to movies now either. But I was trying to paint a picture to you since you weren't with me last night to see what I saw. That he's deeply interested in how we think and how we feel about things. He wants to know that in the days ahead we're going to feel secure. He wants us to know in the days ahead he knew it all along. He was there from the beginning. He'll be there till the end. And when it's all over, he'll be there heading the rebuilding project. So rejoice. So this that I'm going to share with you, I'm going to read it and stop occasionally maybe to further illuminate some of the points. And Ricky will read the scripture for us. And I hope that this is a blessing to you, because he presented it in a way not to scare the hair off your head, but to give you peace. That's what he wants to do. Okay, the first vision. I saw a Jesuit priest clothed in black. Now, we talked about Jesuits for a long time, right? For subjects and projects for our GOEs. Because I think most of the world would think, well, they're very godly men. You know, they're Jesuit priests. And the truth is, they're not godly men at all. They're Jesuits, all right, but they're not godly. They're actually would remind me of the mafia. They might even be worse than the mafia. I think they are. If you were to ever read their agreement that they have to sign to become a Jesuit, it would scare your shoes off your feet. It's so horrible. And it confirms the hardness of their heart and the love for the horrific. So here is this Jesuit priest. He is flying across the heavens on a broom. Now, if you've ever wondered, are the tales of witches flying on brooms true? Yes, they are. They really can fly on brooms. If they have developed that gifting, they can do it. And obviously this guy had done that. He was riding a broom, flying through the sky, and settled on a roof of a huge old building. And I happened to be looking out the window of the uppermost compartment of that building and saw all this taking place. When he came in over the roof, he brought it down closer to the roof, jumped off of it, got his little bag out, and started taking powder out of it and spraying the powder around on the roof while he was dancing. This, you know, it wasn't a weird dance. It was just, it looked like it was a joyful dance, but he's doing these measures with his hands, you know, to let you know that this is important stuff and it's very specific. And by this means, he was cursing this building. Now, by the size of this building, I sensed that it was to symbolize a city, maybe even the Vatican, from God's perspective. So he's, you know, dancing around, sprinkling this powder on the roof to curse it through ritual. In the next scene, the Jesuit is still there. He's still cursing the building. When I saw a group of extremely wealthy men dressed in expensive business suits, very expensive, and they came onto the scene on a people mover, you know, those walkways that move like an escalator but flat on the ground, a people mover, it brought them into the scene there atop the roof of this building. When I saw this, I heard the Lord say, "It is all coming down. It is all coming down." And I thought at the time, I am so glad that he's renewing this promise. Because the Catholic, you can call it church, we could even call it an industry. The worldwide Catholic industry is so responsible for so much of the evil in this world. I think it would just amaze you. That's probably the nicest word I could say. He added, pray that my power will be released to bring it all down. So it's all coming down. It's all coming down. Pray that my power will be released to bring it down. Although these men had connection, those are the men that came in on the people mover, had connections with the Catholic Church, they were not part of the evil of the Catholic Church. They weren't like constant instruments of evil like the priesthood is in the Catholic Church. They were part of the wealthy who commingles with the evil of the Catholic Church, similar to the elite. Indeed, they may have been symbolized by the elite or have symbolized the elite. After the vision ended, I prayed some more and then fell asleep. Not long after, I woke again to the Lord typing a letter on a computer keyboard. He was very gentle in his interaction with me. And in the words in the letter, he asked me to stand in the middle of the room. This is what the letter said. He asked me to stand in the middle of the room, raise my hands and voice, and shout as loud as I could, Babylon, fall! I obeyed, but no voice came out when I declared those words. Still, the authority and the power of God flowed through my obedience. It was incredible. 3 times I exclaimed, Babylon, fall! With all the strength I had, but no voice. The anointing, however, was so strong that I felt like Babylon was crumbling under my feet. The reason that this was such a blessing to me is years ago, 3 decades ago or more, I was in Hawaii and I had just arrived at the pastor's home when suddenly the call to prayer was so strong I couldn't restrain it. So I went into the room that I was going to be staying at while I was there. And before I could even hit a comfortable place to pray, the anointing exploded into a dimension that just had me absolutely curled up in anguish, wailing. And then I was lifted up off the earth, taken up into the heavens, and I was shown a beast called Aligade. That was his name. Over his chest, I saw the beast, and those words, the beast, is the same beast that is in the book of Revelation. Take note. And over this beast's head was the spirit of compromise. So he rules, and I was told, as I'm standing there, hanging in midair, looking at this thing, he looked like a cross between a bear and a huge ape. He was as big as a tall rise building you might see in New York. He was huge. As I'm looking at him and I'm seeing the beast on his chest and I'm seeing the words, spirit of compromise, over his head, and I remembered that I was told years before when I met him that his name was Aligotti. When he looked up from what he was doing, I don't know what thought went through his mind, but he bent back over and he started playing. If you can believe this, what was flowing through his hands was some kind of ability, power to manipulate the people that were Catholics. And I saw him like pulling Catholic souls from places all over the earth toward this black hole right in the middle. And all he was doing was pointing his fingers at them. Every single one that came to that directive would throw their idol in the hole and then jump in after it to their eternal demise. When I saw what he was doing, I was astounded. I was terrified. Every single ounce that is in me that needs to save people from hell rose up, and I shouted his name and told him to release those souls. He looked up, he saw who I was because we had met before, and immediately I was thrust into a 45-minute wrestling match with this demon. And I just kept telling him, in Jesus' name, you release those souls. You release them. You cannot have them. I won't let you have them. And finally, whatever was going on here, it was broken. He quit the battle, went off on his way, and the march toward the hole to hell stopped. So when I think of the Catholic Church, I always think of this because the Lord told me he was the reigning monarch. Those were his words, not mine. This was the reigning monarch over the worldwide Catholic Church. It's not even Mary. It's Aligotti. Now, Ashtaroth is over Mary, so she helps him. But the chief guy is this Aligotti. And I know how evil this spirit is. He gets such joy and such delight seeing these poor, delusioned people falling off into hell because of the control that he has on their lives. So this is why when the Lord showed me it's going to fall, I'm going to bring it down. You just keep doing what I'm telling you to do, and I will do what I promised to do. It always brings such joy. Because for the sake of these souls, these precious souls that God wants to save. Again, I fell asleep. And later awoke to another vision. I saw the economic collapse. I saw our currency notes with the words Federal Reserve notes on them. And they were absolutely worthless. They were worthless because the Federal Reserve had been shut down. Now, isn't that great news? I mean, that's the biggest problem America has, is the Federal Reserve when it comes to economics. And it had finally been shut down. So it's a small problem, folks. The enemy is shut down. The people who managed to shut it down pulled on the funds and so on that were in reserve to get new money into operation in this country that will be asset backed. And this is a wonderful thing. There's going to be a little chaos in the transition, but the chaos is worth the transition. It is going to be a complete transition. The Federal Reserve is completely going. I know I've told you that before. I know that Ricky has seen it. We just keep saying it because, I'll tell you why. People have asked me from time to time. Sometimes it seems like you say the same prophetic word over and over and over again. Why? And I just tell them, because every time you speak a prophetic word out, it gives power to the word and enlarges the authority in that word. Even if you're not the one that originally gave it, it's the word that is empowered, and it's empowered by the Spirit of the Lord speaking through you. So when the Lord tells us to address it another time, we do. And we're not apologetic about it. We're just very excited that God is still saying we're still on route, so don't turn around. I then saw a man rise that marked a new age, not the bad new age, that marked a new age, a time or season in the world. He was not evil, because he represented the healing of the nations of the world from the ugliness and devastation the elite had caused. The first thing the voice of the Lord told me when this man arose was this: the wealth of the wicked restored to the poor and righteous. So all that these wicked, evil people have done to steal money right out of the hands of people that need it the most, it's going to be restored. You can write it down. You can mark it down. You can mark this date, although we've said this from time to time over the many years. I think the first time that I made it super public was, you know, in my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change. But we do keep saying, but it's coming. We're right at the threshold of it now. And when it comes, those that have no right to your money will lose it. And those who have the legal rights to their money will have it restored. How God is going to work all this out, I don't know, but praise the Lord, huh? Enormous funds are going to be released to rebuild the U.S. quickly from the damage of the elite. The money released was not like a mountain stream. I saw this in the next vision. The money released was not like a mountain stream, but enough for everything needed to restore America. Instead of a mountain stream, the waters actually rose from out of the earth, creating an endless pool of water across the map. They were water seemingly flowing from a divine artesian spring given to heal much of the earth. So this isn't just, you know, financial healing. It isn't just maybe healing of relationships or so on. It is a healing of all the devastation that the elite has brought to this country. And it's going to rise up from the earth. It was like watching a bowl. And instead of someone pouring water into the bowl, the water was coming up through the bottom of the vessel and filling the bowl in that manner. It was an artesian, divine artesian spring that had been called forth in the earth by God to heal the nation, starting with America. The Lord's heart filled with joy in this restoration because finally America was free of the New World Order. I knew this would affect and bring healing to many nations, but not all. Then the Lord told me, I will clothe the nation, meaning America, in my glory. I saw cities all over America virtually clothed in his glory. He clothed the wealth of the cities in such a nature, revealing that even the wealth was a gift of restoration. You could not see the manifested glory, but everything looked sparkling new. When the sun shone, the cities would seem to glimmer in the light. So whatever time we had, until the revealing of the Antichrist, America was clothed in beauty. And therefore, many of the nations. And it was because, first and foremost, the people turned to God. Now, I've asked Ricky to read Isaiah 60. She's going to read that because here it is in the Bible. And it's all in one chapter. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you, Mom. Praise God. That's so exciting. Okay, Isaiah 60. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Edition. Starting at verse 1. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new light. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen in you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about you and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried and nursed in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy at the glorious deliverance and be enlarged, because the abundant wealth of the Dead Sea shall be turned to you. Unto you shall the nations come with their treasures. A multitude of camels from the eastern trading tribes shall cover you, Jerusalem, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All the men from Sheba who once came to trade shall come, bringing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. Verse 7. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you, and the eastern pastoral tribes join the trading tribes. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar. In my glorious house I will glorify. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? Surely the isles and distant coastlands shall wait for and expect me, and the ships of Tarshish shall come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and gold with them. For the name of the Lord your God, for the Holy One of Israel, because he has beautified and glorified you. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I smote you, but in my favor, my pleasure, and goodwill I have had mercy, love, and pity for you. And your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations. And their kings led in procession your voluntary captives. Verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you in that day, Jerusalem, shall perish. Yes, those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine trees together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you, and all those who despised you shall bow down at your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no man pass through you, I will make you, Jerusalem, an eternal glory, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of the Gentile nations, and shall suck the breast of kings, and you shall recognize and know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Verse 17. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold, and instead of iron, I will bring silver, and instead of wood, bronze, and instead of stone, iron. Instead of the tyranny of the present, I will appoint peace as your officers and righteousness as your taskmasters. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no more be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord shall be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory, and your beauty. Verse 20. Your sun shall no more go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Your people also shall all be uncompromisingly and consistently righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The least one shall become a thousand, a clan, and the small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its appointed time.
Thank you, Annie.
You're welcome.
We know that this passage is also speaking of the restoration of Israel, but when the Lord wants to assign that to a particular other nation, he has the right to do that, because apparently Israel and whatever the other nation is has a similar or identical future in their path. So that is the case with us, and it's going to be happy in the end. But I do want you to know that before we started these gatherings, every visitation I received from the Lord, every time I was taken to heaven to receive prophetic insight, every vision, every dream that I had about the future of America and other nations, it always had a tragic end. It was terrible. I hated seeing these things again and again and again. But when the Lord finally spoke to me and said to me, there is a remedy, I'd carried these burdens already for decades, and I just couldn't comprehend. But I knew it was Jesus standing in front of me, and he wouldn't say that if it weren't true. So I sought him on it, and he began to show me that if we would do the work that you and we are doing together, and be faithful to everything he asks of us, things can be changed. There needs to be discipline. There's going to be discipline. There isn't a nation on the face of the earth that doesn't need it and that won't experience it. But it's not going to be unto destruction. And it's because you have been faithful. Don't think that God does not take prayer seriously. I promise you, and those of you who have been with us for decades now, you can't even count on your hands and toes how many substantial things he has changed through prayer. You can't buy a box of, you know, 1,000 plastic bullets and go outside and take target practice and match them with the prayers that we have targeted in need for America's healing that he hasn't answered for us. It has been astounding. And so this whole night is just to let you know these things that need still to happen will happen, but they're going to be brought way down in the degree of discipline because of all the repentance. And I'm not saying it's not going to be difficult. Please don't think I am. But it's not going to be as difficult as it would have been. And instead of it devastating, and it's going to be a beautiful end. And I just have just a couple more things I want to address, then I'm going to pray just a little bit, and then I'll give it back to Daryl. Oh, let me read this for a minute that Daryl just sent to me. I think that what he wrote me is probably accurate, so let me read it to you. Do you want to read it, Daryl? You can read it. You wrote it.
Okay, so this is an interpretation to a portion of the vision that Nita had about the witch on the roof with the white powder. So the roof is a covering of darkness and deception, and that's out of Isaiah 60, and I got that before Ricky actually read Isaiah 60, that darkness will cover the people. So the white powder stands for sorcery in the Bible. It comes from the Greek word pharmakia, so, or pharmaceutical. So we get the word pharmaceutical. So a white powder is standing for the sorcery of this witch that was rejoicing and dancing over the sorcery, the darkness, and the deception that's associated with Catholicism. But it's coming down.
Isn't that great? I wish I could see your faces. Yeah. I just think it's so wonderful. I just think it's so wonderful. It can just make you cry. God cares about those poor, deluded people. He doesn't want them going to hell. Okay, my last few thoughts based on this experience with the Lord. This great awakening in America did not pour out like a river, but it also filled the land as though you were filling a cup everywhere you went in the nation. His great awakening, saving grace and glory filled America with restoration and beauty. The Lord made it very clear through all I saw that the elite wanted to destroy America so they could have it. I knew that. But what he showed me made it evident that I could not neglect, overlook, or misunderstand. And it is this. God is not trying to destroy America. The elite are trying to destroy her. And the people. God will see the elite's angst against America and he will use it to destroy them. That is his plan. It's not going to be like this great big huge hurricane or tornado coming in out of the skies from nowhere, destroying this New World Order plan. They will destroy themselves, which is biblical, isn't it? Bible tells us that's the way to work. This information is not new, but how he released it felt imminent, like our toes were touching the transitioning and entering into it. It was almost like watching it, I already said this to you, like watching a 3D movie instead of a traditional film. He brought such a living reality to it that it was amazing. I just love it when he amazes us, don't you? What the church needs to know is that the destruction is not from on high, but from the wicked, their thoughts and desires, and their king, Satan. Nevertheless, God will restore America to a greater beauty than ever. This time, Americans will know how to handle it. The image that it presented to me is like a mature eagle during their molting process. They like to stay in a cave near places of water. The last thing that molts is the bird's beak. Once the beak falls off, the feathers fall off, and new feathers come on, which are the feathers of the mature eagle, and they're quickly restored. That is what is going to happen to America. Much of this evil is going to molt away. He will give America new feathers. He will supply every need during the restoration process, and it will be better when it's over. In Joseph's time, the supply was not only for the nation he was living in, but also for other nations. The same is true today. America will have an abundance to give to other nations as well. He created us for that purpose, you know. And I'm so thankful that he's still giving that to us. None of this is new to me again, but it felt new because of the way he revealed it last night. Instead of making a person afraid, I could not help but be thankful and joyful for what God is going to do in America. And I really want you to let God put that joy in your heart. His wisdom is impeccable. How can you ever question it? He's so good. He's so rich in his mercy. And I can promise you, if the Lord says justice, it's in his mercy. If he says judgment, it's in his mercy. If he says destruction, again, believe it or not, it is in his mercy. He's a merciful God, but he's also a holy God, and therefore he does have that side of him that we call severity. So the wisdom is to lay a hold of Christ, make him the center of your life, walk with him, talk with him, live with him in holiness. Make him your best friend, your Lord, your God, your master. Make him everything. That's what he wants for you. And when the tough time comes that God has to start dealing with America on these issues, you're not going to be fearful. You'll be prayerful. You're not going to want to run. You're going to want to stand because you know that America needs it. The Lord desires it. And the peoples of the earth are desperate for it. Let us pray and then we'll get started with Daryl and Lou. I was amazed, Father, as you showed these things to me last night. I was utterly amazed at how we came through it with me feeling so much joy for your intervention. You're intimate, intricate, care for people and their well-being. There's no human being on the earth that can match it. None. You are the great lover of the universe and more. You are wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Your care is so great. You leave no stone unturned to bring forth the best for everyone that is willing to turn to righteousness. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the picture over and over and over again. When you created the whole prophetic ministry, Lord, and we look through the old covenant, we see the same picture being painted by one prophet after another after another. There's a restfulness that comes, not only in the fact of your foreknowledge, but your care concerning these things. And now in the new covenant, we're walking through the same patterns, the same interplay coming from the Holy God of Israel. And you're as faithful to us as you have ever been to my people. Thank you. Thank you for visiting us tonight. Thank you for helping us pray in the fire of your love. Thank you, Father, that you will manifest your glory, your beauty, your awesomeness, and maybe even your majesty, Lord, your holiness. And as we pray, let our prayers be so sweet to your taste. And may it set the path to the salvation of the world. In your precious name, amen.